In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
John is the greatest of all the prophets, because he most clearly declares Jesus and him crucified. He is the culmination of all the Old Testament. Whether the prophets, the priests, they all point to John's preaching in the wilderness, because John is that voice. So Advent is not preparing us to hear John. Advent is not preparing us to meditate upon John, but it's bidding us to listen. For John is simply a voice that preaches him who is present and yet still is to come. In John, types and shadows are gone. Sacrifices and priestly garments are gone. Ancestral lineage and also the land of Canaan are gone. And for us, family traditions, trees and cookies, family gatherings, cards and presents are also gone. These things are good and important, even as the Old Testament shadows were good gifts of God. But they're not the goal. The temple was never meant to be the goal, and John is boldly declaring it. Rehearsing the history of Christmas is not our goal. So we need John's boldness. We need John's austerity. We need the voice crying out to us in the wilderness, "Repent, make straight the way of the Lord." The way of the Lord is the one who is coming. He stands among us right now, though you do not see him, for God has fulfilled his promises. Soon he will be revealed to the nations. Soon the eyes will see him. Soon he will come on the clouds of heaven to separate sheep from goats. Soon we need to listen to that voice. So we need to ask the right questions, not about John and who he is, not about us and who we are. We need to ask the right questions about the way of the Lord. John preached in the wilderness to teach us that the world in which we live is nothing more than a wilderness. What is here in this world that can keep you alive forever? What is here in this world with all the gifts of God that he has filled this world with, but what is here that can grant you access into heaven? Who is here that can give you that? Many joys and many blessings, but human history is primarily one of survival and not really of flourishing. The curse rests over us. We are not the Christ who has come to make all things new. No politician is, no family member is, not even John is. Someone else has to stand among us. Someone else is the Christ. So we need to hear John's voice. So we know where we're going. We need John calling out in the wilderness of Mission Viejo to us so that we know who we are to wait for. Repent, make straight the way of the Lord. Repentance is turning away from sin, turning away from false goals or false ideas, and turning to the Lord in faith. Let us not flee from God like Jonah. Let us not flee into Christmas trees or into presents or family gatherings as if we have those things, then Christmas is great, and if we don't, somehow it's less than. But let us flee to the one who is the way of the Lord and who has built that way by his own blood. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. So the way of the Lord begins in Bethlehem's manger and journeys to a cross. And throughout that 33-year period as he walked this earth, he lived in the wilderness in which you also live. He was tempted in every way just as you are, yet he remained without sin. Holy and righteous is he. You know of three of those temptations as Jesus went out into the Judean wilderness. Turn these stones into bread. Jump from the temple because God has to help you. And finally, bow down and worship me, and all these kingdoms will be yours. Satan is trying to convince Jesus that there is another way, another path he can take, another direction that will end up in the same place of heaven. Those are real temptations, even as you endure real temptations. Difficult for our Lord to overcome, for he was made like us in every way. But overcome he did. Scripture says this about our Lord's life. With loud cries and tears, Jesus prayed to the Father who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. He was God. He still is God. And yet he learned obedience by what he suffered and endured, so he might learn that the path of the Lord, the way of the Lord, is a way of faith. We should not think of our Lord and Savior as some superhuman who can simply power through the affairs of life. You cut him and it hurts. He bleeds. Emotionally, as he looked out at this world and saw sin infecting those that he loves, it hurt him. And how did he respond? With prayers to his heavenly Father. The way of the Lord is a way of faith, to trust that what God is doing right now is good. Thus he became the way of salvation for us all, not only by his cross, but also by his righteous life. By his cross, he paid for all sin, took away the debt that we owed to God. By his life, he earned the righteousness according to the law of God for us. The holy and righteous life of Christ is now credited to you. So when God looks at you, he sees one who is holy and righteous, not by what you have done, but by Christ and what he has given. You are on this way of the Lord through faith. You are not the destination. Marriage, having children, retirement is not the destination. In other words, that's not your life's goal. Christmas in 2025 or 26 or whatever year is not the destination. Neither is April 10th when we will observe Good Friday, or April 12th when we celebrate Easter. That's not our destination. Our goal, our whole life's goal, is to be with the Lord forever in heaven. The path of the Lord is leading there. It's a way of catechesis then, of constantly hearing and receiving, learning and growing, so that faith might be manifest more and more in what we call fruits of repentance, that we live in accordance with what God has directed us. So our journey comes from hearing the word of God and putting it into practice, that we also might endure in the wilderness of this world. We Christians are not some superhuman people that can just power through life with a smile on our face. We live in a wilderness, and it very often shows in our body and on our face. It is hard and difficult, yet it is a way of faith. We believe and trust that our God is good, even or despite what we see, like Abraham or Jacob, Job or even Solomon. We don't live by what we have or do not have. We live by what our Lord has spoken. The way of the Lord is a way of faith. Like John, we cannot deny him who stands among us. Not only must we confess how we are saved, but we also must confess that our Lord is good, even if Christmas is spent all alone. As Christ learned obedience through suffering, so we also learn this obedience through suffering and trials. The way of the Lord is not always easy. It is a way of faith. And with loud cries and tears, we too respond as our Lord responded with prayers to our Heavenly Father, confident that if he gave it to us, it must be for our good. As painful or difficult, as disheartening and sad, it must be for our good. So John is a voice calling to first century Jews and 21st century Christians to repent. One stands among us who paved the way of the Lord by his own blood. John was unworthy to remove his sandal because Christ alone took off his sandal to crush the serpent's head by his heel. He alone is the Redeemer of the world. One stands among us who turns this wilderness into an oasis, who turns the parched land into bubbling springs, and who brings the kingdom of God to men. It is not John. It is not your family. It is not your politicians. It is not your country. It is Christ, and Christ alone. Do not be like the Samaritan woman looking for physical living water, so that way her life may be easier. But recognize the living water is the Word of God and Christ himself present in that Word. Hear and receive him, and springs of water will well up in you. So we wait with patience. As wonderful as family Christmas celebrations will be, we also need to hear John. As wonderful as tree decorations and building family traditions, we also need to view purple. As wonderful as family is. And yes, we need to spend time with them to make memories, to laugh and to sing. We can only let Christ alone be the one who stands in our midst to redeem the nations. Only he can satisfy your longing, still your heart, or calm your restless soul. Only he is the one who turns a house into a home, a sanctuary, or a building into a sanctuary, and a block of wood into an altar. One stands among you whom you know. He is the one who has redeemed you, and the one who still comes to bring you out of a wilderness, and until that time, to strengthen and sustain you in this wilderness, so that you may reach your destination. So we need to hear John's voice of repentance. We need to be pointed to the way of the Lord present for us, front and center, not only on an altar, but in a crucifix. We need to endure and to trust that God knows what he is doing in our life, and that our path has an ending. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.